trade show displays, step and repeat backdrops, pull-up banner stands, table throws, all your large printing needs. ExpoNetUSA.com, 301-378-9363. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thank you for listening to the Hub Show podcast. Brought to you by Venue Media.
Yeah, good now.
Let's do it. All right, here we go.
Hello.
Check. The People's Podcast.
The Hub Show.
All right, Jay Heiss, Chris Canfield, DJ Busy Roll in the house. It's just the three of us, dudes.
Yep. Charming said she's sick.
Charming, just tapping out tonight.
Feeling under the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a nasty flu going around, so.
Are you ever over the weather?
Hey.
Or is it just under the weather?
I don't know. You can be on.
Be under the weather means you're sick.
You can be walking on sunshine, or you could be on cloud nine.
Over the weather. That would be on sunshine.
That would
sure.
be over the weather.
Yeah. So if you're feeling really well, good. Yeah. You're over the weather. I didn't hear anyone say that to me. I'm feeling over the weather. I know.
Well,
it's kind of bizarre.
It might be. Never mind.
Yeah.
Keep that to myself. It's okay.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great podcast fodder. Just keep it to yourself.
That's how we do it here. You want to know?
We just tune into the silence.
Just hit
the
DJ
show.
Busy on the Facebook page. Wonder what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last week was my birthday.
Yeah, you're 39.
We were in here. Yeah.
And since a week later,
what I've noticed since I turned 39, is for some reason, unbeknownst to me at the moment, the girlfriend took a picture of my back and then showed me the picture of my back. And I found out that my body has started harvesting hair for when I go bald.
That's right.
There are two very small light patches.
Yes,
down at the lower end of my back that were never there before. And I believe that maybe my body is farming hair.
You become the
to
fly.
Replace what falls out as I grow older.
You become the fly, dude.
I've become the fly.
That's it. Welcome to shit happens, man.
Yeah, my body's getting disgusting. I don't know if you're supposed to wax that or shave that,
dude,
or put Nair on it.
Yeah, so it looks like George.
I don't know.
Just let it grow for you, man.
Well, right now it's really fine.
It's fine.
You know, I don't want it to. I mean, it's very fine hair.
He wants
to
perm it.
I don't want to
conditioner.
I don't want to take it out and then have it grow back in thicker.
Right, you don't want that.
You know what I mean?
Thicker fly hairs. You don't want those.
Yeah. I don't want to turn into a bear.
So what, your girlfriend saw it, took a picture, and is she all shocked too?
No, she wasn't shocked because she knows it's there, apparently. Oh, but she doesn't say anything. She's nice enough not to tell me. But
this time she took a picture to show you.
This time she took a picture
look.
To show me, and I said,
"You're fuzzy.
Hey, look at that. You got hair growing in places where hair shouldn't be growing."
That's how she put it?
I don't know. That's how I put it anyways.
All right,
well. Welcome to 39.
Welcome to 39.
Oh, shit,
that
dude.
Happens when you turn 39, people, just so you know.
Wait till you turn 46.
Yeah, tell us, Jay. What happens?
The hair's been there, pal. Yeah.
Does it get thicker?
For some people, it might.
Yeah.
You might be George Animal Steel by the time you're my age, but, you know, we'll see. We'll shave that shit.
Yeah.
She called me a big grizzly bear.
Gives a reason a guy to go to the spa, huh?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wax job, man.
Yeah.
In the future for you, huh?
I don't know. I've never gotten a professional massage.
No?
No.
Oh, you need to do that.
You should try that, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
When they're certified and know what they're doing,
now I'm too embarrassed. Now I got to get waxed before they massage me.
They've seen worse, trust me.
Yeah. You're good.
they run their fingers through that thick, coarse hair on them bear guys.
The patch isn't that big, is it, Chris?
No.
Hey, I'm really sore by the hair patch back there. Really focus on that area?
Could you mind the patch? Thank you. Go around it.
Yeah. But it would be weird to be a massage therapist and have to massage somebody with really thick back hair.
But I'm sure they have. They're out there, dude.
I don't know. I guess you got to comb it. You don't want to get it all knotted up.
How about
the guy
that shows up with no hair whatsoever? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The smooth guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Like he's on the swim team or something.
The ones that shave from the knee to the neck.
There you go.
Shave everything.
But they still have a full-on Duck Dynasty beard.
Yeah.
Some bizarre-looking shit.
Is there a man out there that's completely
bald
on his
neck
body
down,
but has a beard? I need to know this. Now I'm super curious.
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah. At the Hub Show.
Send us pictures.
Busy wants to know.
I guess we need proof. Yeah. I don't know if we should ask for proof of that.
Right?
But
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Manscaped.com is looking for looking for models.
I'm sure, yeah, there's that one
bearded
guy.
Model.
Bearded model. Awesome. You got the part. Yeah. Anyway, we actually have an agenda again today.
Yeah.
We're going to go over, well, we're going to do the top 22 movies of 2019.
We picked
over half of which we haven't seen.
Half of which none of us
sit
have
back,
seen.
People. Brace yourself for this
But
one.
We are going to rate them nevertheless.
Yeah. Because our opinion counts, folks.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. I don't know about you, Busy. I love movies. I love cinema. I love all that stuff. I love going to the movies and watch movies, but it takes a lot to get me into the theater and to cough up my 12 or so bucks.
Yeah.
That's what it is with me, man.
It's a lot easier when you go to the movies by yourself. 12 bucks doesn't really mean
this
anything.
This is true.
Yeah,
but when you take the fam and it costs $77.
You never just run away by yourself and go see a film?
I did it a long time ago.
Yeah.
I used to do it all the time. Well, I was single for so long that... Right. You know, you could just, I would just go, I'm not doing anything
when
tonight.
There were really
just sitting around
I
scratching
see
your ass anyway.
She didn't want to see him. I went and saw him. Like, I saw Jackie Brown like that. I saw Boogie Nights like that. I saw a bunch of movies like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
where do you sit when you go in the theater by yourself?
Right in the middle. That's where I sit anyway. When
I go by
lady.
Myself, I like sitting in the top row.
Yeah. The only time we go as a family, we're a family of four. The only time we go as a family is the Star Wars movies, right? So we do that. And, yeah, man, that's an $80 fucking trip.
Uh-huh.
Between the food and the...
Right?
Yeah, right.
I'm like, really? I'm standing over here with my arms crossed like,
it's
do you guys really need popcorn?
Yeah.
Come on.
Right. But come you on. Do. You have to have popcorn, man.
Can't we just walk in and just watch it?
Dude, we split the big, large tub of popcorn and before the movies and roll. I'm already out getting my refill. before the trailers are done, you know?
Yeah.
Movies, man. So this list came from... Metacritic.com. That's where I got this from. Digging it up. There's plenty of lists out there, but I chose this one. It looked pretty in depth.
Yes.
And we are actually going to start
with a site name like Metacritic.
Metacritic. Yeah. So, well, actually, take a look. We're looking at the screen here. We're going to go from number 22 and work our way up to number 1. However, this actually breaks down what got them at these rankings. So, check it out. I mean, the Metascore. Is like based on 57 critics. I guess out of 100, number 22 is Avengers Endgame, and it got 78.
And we're starting at 22 because we got a lot to say about Avengers Endgame.
I don't think we need to read the description of this one. I
mean,
no,
everybody on the planet has seen this. And if they didn't see it, then they were disappeared and reanimated at the end of the movie.
So this is Avengers Endgame. You a huge Avengers fan? Busy?
I'm a big-time Avengers
big time?
Fan, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
How about you, Chris?
Oh, loving it.
Loving it?
Loving this Marvel universe.
The whole thing.
I don't know what it's going to become because, you know, the actors are... They're eventually going to get tired of... Like, I've heard rumors that Chris Hemsworth doesn't want to be Thor anymore.
Really?
Yeah, but what... But,
who else is going to be Thor, right?
Yeah, you can't switch... When you start switching out the actors and keeping the character, that's when it all falls apart.
You know what's going to happen. They're going to go female on you, man.
God gave him the looks and the ability and skills, right? And sound, basically, to be Thor.
Yeah.
And now you don't want to be Thor?
Yeah, you're getting tired of it.
It's like, man, you were given all these gifts and now you're tired of
it? Robert Downey Jr., he is Iron Man. Right. There's no denying that. You know, that was a great movie, though. There was even a little tearjerker part there at the end.
So looking at this, Metacritic has the critics on one side and the user score, I guess the people who chimed in, like us, the general public. And Avengers Endgame got 78. It got 53 on the positive from the critics, 3 mixed reviews and 1 negative. But over here on the user score...
Look at all them negatives.
The positive got 3,525. Mixed review was 342. And for negatives, we got 659.
Yeah. Why would
thumbs down, I guess.
Why would people thumbs down this movie?
I don't know.
What sense does that make?
I don't know. See, it's not even my cup of tea. I've seen these movies, but I wouldn't like break to go see them.
I have seen this movie. I own
the
movie.
To watch.
I own the movie, and I have watched it a dozen times.
What's not to like? If this is your cup of tea, then what's there to pick apart? You know what I mean?
Well, wasn't their cup of tea who voted against it, obviously.
Yeah, but then you have no point to be even
reviewing it.
Yeah, I mean, like, Star Wars is a little different.
Also,
but is what it is.
Who are you? Who's the one critic that gave it a bad review? And how are you a critic if all of your peers obviously found some sort of positivity about it?
Their peers. There you go. Some guy from Slant. Every serious narrative beat in the film is ultimately undercut by pro forma storytelling or by faux improvised humor. Keith Ulich of Slant.
How does he know? How does he know that it was fake improvised humor and not written in the script?
Exactly. I don't know. It's just because it's a slow news day for this guy.
Right? Yeah.
Fill some space.
Apparently, somebody
some airtime here from Idiocracy.
Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of all this stuff. I still enjoy it, and it is what it is. But I have no room to sit here and criticize it because, people like it.
Sounds like he needs to get laid.
Well, I mean, has there ever been a film like this that has had such a buildup of many other films?
Right.
I mean, this has never been done before. So,
well, of all the Avengers coming together, which ones do you like? Who are your favorites in the whole core, the whole group?
Of the group of Avengers,
I loved. Tip my tongue here.
Oh, that was the one with the. That was the one with the big sword, right?
Iron Man. That's the one.
There you go.
I mean, I like Iron Man a lot. I'm a huge Iron Man was awesome. Captain America. America fan.
Yeah, that was good.
I mean, my favorite superhero of all time is Spider-Man, and he's an Avenger. I mean, he's not an original.
He
Avenger,
showed up like what?
He becomes an Avenger. Yeah, right. If I have to throw him in the mix, it would be him.
Spider-Man.
But Captain America of the films that...
Of the Spider-Mans, which one did you like the best? Do you like this kid? Or do you like Peter? Or do you like the...
Tobey
Maguire.
As a kid, I liked Tobey Maguire, but there's so many like corny scenes in those Spider-Man. You know, it's... but I mean, I did like it. I own all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the kid they used in between in The Amazing. You know, he wasn't part of the Marvel Universe, but neither was Tobey Maguire, really. Those were kind of standalone films. But I do like this kid, this young kid. I don't know his name. Do you guys?
I don't know his name either. But I do like that. Eric Bana does a really good job at the Hulk, but I wish that Ed Norton would have taken and ran with it. The Ed Norton version of the Hulk was crazy. That was awesome. The original Hulk.
All right. There you have it, folks. Hulk.
Yeah. Iron Man. Better is Ed Norton.
Hulk, Iron Man, Spider-Man for busy. Is what it is, though. It's all good, though. Moving on. 21. Movie number 21. Up the ladder here. Jojo Rabbit, which I did not see. I did see the trailer for it. You saw it, Busy?
I did. I went down to... So there's an Arcolite in Bethesda. And the Arcolite is the theater that I used to really like to go to in L.A. So I went down there to see it. And they get all the popular films, too, but they get more of the indie films as well.
I gotcha.
This isn't necessarily a complete indie film, but it was a lower budget.
What's it about?
Here's the summary. A lonely German boy's worldview is turned upside down when he discovers his single mother, Scarlett Johansson, is hiding a young Jewish girl in their attic. Aided only by his idiotic imaginary friend, Adolf Hitler, Jojo must confront his blind nationalism.
So this is a young Adolf Hitler?
No. This is the end of World War II, right? Mm-hmm. And he's a young kid living in a small town in Germany. And, you know, the Germans all made all the kids become Nazis. So, like, it's the end of the war. Everyone in Germany knows they're losing the war at this point.
I gotcha.
And his best imaginary friend is, like, this comedic, like, Hitler figure.
Right.
Oh, I gotcha. Like a drop dead Fred.
Yes.
Like a drop dead Fred, except Fred is Hitler.
Yes.
There you go.
Wow, that is an interesting premise.
He discovers a Jew girl living in his house that his mom's hiding. Is the big.
And her name.
He falls in love with.
Oh, okay.
But at first he's, you know, her taught name? All these things that Jews are monsters and like she's. Like this monster that'll come out of the wall and eat him at night. You know, this is the things that he thinks because he's a little kid, you know?
Yeah. So he finds, like, Belinda Frank.
Yes.
Or something like that. And is okay.
There you go. So let's look at the Metascore, according to Metacritic.
Listen, this is the first... Well, we should have rated... We should have given a rating for Avengers. I'm going to go with a 10.
Yeah,
obviously.
Ten hubcaps.
Ten hubcaps. Yeah.
All the Avengers movies, though, it was up there.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sure, yeah, for sure.
Well, this one here, Jojo Rabbit. The critics gave it a, of all the critics, 28 positive, 20 mixed, and 7 negative reviews. On the user side, you know, the Joe Schmoes, the us, 139 positives, 22 mixed, and 46 negatives. Well, whatever. You know.
Wow.
I really enjoyed it.
I mean, you can get the gist of it from watching the trailer.
Yes.
You know, whether you're going to go see it or not.
I love the gist of it. I would. I have not seen it, but I will want to see it now that I know that it exists. Right. And what is it with an arc light? What's the special thing about an arc light?
This is different.
It's just it's you know, they'll come in before
they present the movie to you,
and they present the movie to you, and they tell everyone to put away your phones, talk in text.
Personally.
A real person
comes in and says this to the. And I don't know. I kind of like that personable.
I saw that in.
I gotcha.
In West Hollywood.
Yeah,
yeah.
I saw the wrestler Mickey Rourke in the arc light. Good movie.
Really enjoyed that
movie.
I mean, when you're listening to like podcasts of like people who live in LA and everything, they're always talking about going to the arc light. Yeah, everybody always goes to the arc light.
They do meet and greets and stuff there too, where like the director will come in and he'll like talk before the film.
Yeah.
So there's always that kind of stuff happening there too.
It's gotcha. Really cool.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't even know we had one on the East Coast.
Yeah, I didn't know either. I looked on the website and I was like,
that's pretty cool.
I was like, I'm going.
I was surprised you said that. Anyway, so we're up to number 20 here. Joker.
Wait, we got to give the hubcaps.
For what? Jojo Rabbit?
For Jojo Rabbit.
Well, I
haven't seen it, but so I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it 8.
8.
Nice.
All right. Preemptive 8 hubcaps.
Do we give half points? Like, can I do an 8.5?
By all means, man.
Eight and a half.
8.5. All right. And he saw it. Yeah. So, look, I just guessed and got close.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to say 6 just to be fair. I mean, you know. Who knows? I might like it, I might not. But so far, the trailer looks good. But now we're up to a number 20, which is Joker.
Now, this was...
Yep.
We all saw this, too. Everybody saw this. This was a big waiting.
It was. And what did
you
think?
It was a big waiting game.
Chris?
I was in a little bit of fear for my life when I was in the theater.
Were you?
Yes. There was...
Did you watch with your girlfriend?
Yes. We took, we took the boy... And we were sitting, and we went to the late show. It was after midnight,
right?
And there was nothing but like teenagers in the theater. We were the only adults in the theater,
really.
And the movie is very dark, and there's some parts that touch on today's society and bullying and stuff like that,
right?
And how shit can go wrong,
right?
And the kids were just hamming it up. Yeah. Just laughing their ass off in the theater.
And you were shaking in your
And room. I'm sitting over here just shaking my head going, what the fuck are you kids laughing about?
I know, right? It's a different world
this
there,
shit
dude.
Ain't funny.
It's really funny.
You're 39
film.
Now, Chris.
I mean, there are some real like psychological disturbing moments in this film.
Yeah.
That it's almost, some of it's disturbing to watch, but I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, I love how it made me feel, but it makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Which is supposed to.
Yeah,
I saw it. I give it a 9. What do you guys give it?
And there's like all these like weird little quirks throughout the movie, where it's like, well, sometimes I act like that.
Right?
Am I fucking crazy?
You know, yes, you are.
Like that, like the last scene in the trailer there, where he's like doing his little dance thing,
right?
As the curtain's opening. Well, sometimes in the morning when I'm making my coffee, I'll do a little weird dance in the kitchen when there's no music playing, and I'll be like,
"Jay, this guy don't know he's a little crazy."
I go, "Maybe I'm losing my mind. Oh, I don't know."
We all thought you knew
he's
already.
He's not even 40 yet, dude. Give a couple years.
So, I give it an 8. I go with an 8.
I'm going 9.
I say 9. Oh, touched 9. On a lot of. Touch some nerves.
Did you hear the theory that so maybe this isn't actually the Joker, but this is the guy that influenced the Joker to become the Joker?
Really?
Oh, no.
I don't know that's, you know, that's not like written
into
the
theory.
Like, that's just like a theory.
That's where we'd have to ask, what's this?
Joaquin Phoenix. That's their way of creating prequels and sequels, dude.
Right, yeah.
Urban legends and all
that
shit.
Well, it's just like this figure is a little on the weak side for me to believe that he's like the crime boss, the Joker that fights Batman.
I gotcha. Yeah.
So the fact that he's so picked on and so pushed around,
but
the theory that maybe this is the guy that, like,
there was also,
he influences the Joker.
Who actually becomes the Joker. There was also
an aspect in this movie where he thinks that he's Bruce Wayne's brother.
Yep.
Right? So which I don't believe I've ever heard in any storyline, right? He thought that his dad was what's his name? Whatever Wayne. It's Wayne Sr. Whatever the hell I go, whatever the hell his name. Whatever Bruce Wayne's dad's name was.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Metascore, the critics gave it 32 positive, 15 mixed, and 11 negatives, but you come over to our side, the real people, man, and it has 5,518 positives versus 212 negatives. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
And we gave and we did an interview with Eric Roberts.
We did.
And he gave us some insider info on the Dark Knight.
Yeah, he did.
The death of what's his face? What's the guy's name?
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger. Yeah, he said to Heath Ledger.
No brains here,
well, yeah, I know, right? Everybody said, there was all these rumors going around that Heath Ledger died because he got too caught up in the character and blah, 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 and he went crazy, all that shit. But in reality, he took a bunch of sleeping pills and just didn't wake up. He mixed his sleeping pills with his depression meds, and he went to bed, and his heart rate slowed down, and it just stopped. That's what Eric Roberts said.
Yeah, that's what Eric said.
Yeah, and he was on, and he was on, and he was on the scene.
Right, crazy.
So yeah.
Now, moving up the list, number 19. I saw the poster for this. I don't even know. I even saw the trailer. Ad Astra.
Who's he?
Brad Pitt in space.
Brad Pitt in space.
You never heard of this?
I've never heard of this.
Ad Astra. Astronaut Roy McBride, Brad Pitt, travels to the outer edges of the solar system to find his missing father and unravel a mystery that threatens the survival of our planet. His journey will uncover secrets that challenge the nature of human existence and our place in the cosmos.
Well, well, well.
I know, right? I'm already asleep just reading that.
You think you're asleep reading that?
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know. I'd have to know. I'd have to know the details.
I just gave you
this. Yeah,
I've seen so many sleep movies. I can't remember if I saw this or not, but right. I feel like maybe I saw this movie.
This is something.
Watching the preview.
This is something that I could yeah. I could possibly geek out on if it had enough like interesting facts that made you think.
Maybe.
I could geek out on this.
Well, I mean, the scores aren't that high because there weren't too many critics for them. I mean, the critics gave it 50 positive, 5 or 6 mixed, 0 negative on the people side. Positive is 371, mixed is 159, and negative is 144. Maybe it's an awesome movie. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's out there to be seen, though. So
I don't know. Well, it looks like he's on some kind of mega ship, right?
Right.
Oh, no. Right there, I'm out.
Why? Because the movie? Because
there's a laser fight
Tommy Lee Jones
going on.
Too, man.
There's a laser fight with Tommy Lee Jones in Moon on the
Sutherland.
Moon or something.
Yeah.
No,
I'm
quite
out. A few names in this movie, man.
See,
I'm gonna watch it.
There's where
I'll check it out.
There's where you defy science. And why does every movie about space have to have Liv Tyler in it?
Because,
right? Just because she was in Armageddon means she has to be in this movie.
That's it. I guess.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Let's move up the ladder, man.
I'm gonna give it 2 hubcaps.
Okay,
well, we're rolling into some movies here.
The laser fight in the moon rover. That's what gave it away. I'm done with it.
I think the laser fight moved it from a 4 to a 6.
I can't really give it a rating. I mean, based on the trailer, I give it a 5.
I thought it was going to be educational. It's definitely not educational.
Just something to go watch in IMAX or something.
Chris wants to know how to survive in space.
I want to know how to survive in space, exactly. I want the real shit. We don't even have laser guns.
All right, let me ask. Busy, we're moving on to number 18 here. The movie's called Transit.
Oh, I've seen this.
You've seen the trailer or you've seen the movie?
Nah, I believe I've seen the movie. This had, well, go down the list there. Let me see it. I believe I purchased this movie on iTunes and I fell asleep watching it.
Well, there you go. Here's a summary. George, a German refugee, flees to Marseille, France, assuming the identity of a recently deceased writer whose papers he is carrying. There he delves into the delicate and complex culture of the refugee community, becoming enmeshed in the lives of a young mother and son and falling for a mysterious woman named Marie, played by Paula Beer.
Hmm.
Some World War II shit.
Man, that's so boring. I didn't even listen to what Jay said.
Right? Nope. Well, that is not.
Low.
Never mind. That is not one that I would have purchased.
No, check it out, though. I mean, again, we're getting low here. Again, this is higher than Joker.
According to critics, this is better than the Avengers.
It did win 3 major indie film festival awards I saw at the beginning of the trailer.
I got you.
Toronto being one. I think Sundance was one. Well, I don't know what the
film positives was. From the critics is 27, mixed is 3-0 negative. From the people, there's only 18 positives, 6 mixed.
Have you ever been to a film festival?
Me?
It's on my bucket list.
I've been to small ones.
I've been to Sundance a lot of times.
Have you really?
DJ'd there a bunch, yeah.
That's awesome, dude. Is it cool?
Who'd you see there, man?
Is that everybody.
Sundance is the Coachella.
Yeah, I know. What do they have? Just like the movie theaters all through the town? Yeah.
The town, well, it's in Park City. And so Park City for that week is basically just shut down for all tourists. I mean, unless you have your tickets a year in advance, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's tourists there, too, but... Mm-hmm. They're planning on being there for the film festival.
Yeah, but there's like tons of screens like everywhere all through town or something going on at the same time.
Yes, there are, and there's like a lot of makeshift like movie theaters also for that time frame.
Okay,
so like the smaller films kind of have to play in there.
Gotcha. So they'll put up a tent and have
stuff like that.
Okay.
Gotcha. So like they'll build out an area like so when Tao goes up there, Tao is like the place to be because it's all open bar every night. So it's just like, it's guest list only. You got to know my homegirl Deb to get in the door. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's real deal. But it's all you can drink and free. So it's like, who wouldn't want to be there? And it's a great time. Like,
exactly.
You know, you're partying in Park City.
And you never know who you're going to run into.
Well, you're definitely running into people, especially if you get into Tao. Because everybody goes to Tao. And I would go up there and I did DJ'd the Tao parties. And then I also... DJ'd a bunch of other sponsored parties. There's all kinds of sponsor workshops going on for like Google or Apple or Sprint. Kinds of different sponsors.
Is it like Coachella where you actually have like a schedule that you have to stick to? Like I want to see this movie, but this movie's overlapping that movie.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And stuff
there's
like that.
There's a lot of stuff going on at the same time, so you gotta pick and choose what you're doing. You know, it's like Mos Def will be performing the same time that like. I don't know. Kid Capri has a set down the street. It's just like all kinds of stuff going on. It's really cool in a small town atmosphere.
Yeah.
And you really remove the industry out of people.
They mix music in with it. It's not just film.
Yeah, yeah, totally. There's like a live music act going on.
It's a huge event, man.
Yeah, it's a really Puff Daddy's always there, and he always brings a bunch of artists to perform, and there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And like I said, you're really taking people out of New York and out of L.A. and putting them in this small town atmosphere, and people are more... kind of like accepting, you know, especially if you're in those parties, if you make it into those parties.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, moving on, folks.
Well, hey, next year, we got
to
go.
Let's go. I would love to go. Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's do it.
That'd be great.
Number 17 on this list is The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Well,
I've heard about this.
Good luck with that.
Danny Glover's in it. Yeah. Here's a summary. Jimmy fails. Dreams of reclaiming the Victorian home his grandfather built in the heart of San Francisco. Joined on his quest by his best friend Mont, Jimmy searches for belonging in a rapidly changing city that seems to have left them behind.
Yep.
As he struggles to reconnect with his family and reconstruct the community he longs for, his hopes blind him to the reality of the situation. Basically, he's just moved back to San Francisco.
Right? May we also add that he is probably the only straight man in San Francisco.
So, I mean, this is happening in...
Was he just riding a four-wheeler down the street?
I believe so.
This is happening in pretty much every city.
Right, this is
America.
Not just San Francisco.
I mean, this is gentrification.
Right?
Yeah, but this is taking it to extremes, obviously. If you're going to take a city like San Francisco...
Right.
And make that gentrified, like, the whole way.
But that was gentrified a long time ago, man.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, there's still... Believe me, there's still black people there.
Oh, no doubt. See, no doubt at all.
Gentrification doesn't mean that you're pushing black people out. No. It just means that you're making the neighborhood, everything's getting commercialized, right?
And speaking of that, it looks like is that the definition
of gentrification?
Well, you might be pushing a class of people out because they can't afford it anymore. Right. So you're turning an area, I mean, people call it gentrification, I believe, because... You know, that's like the racist kind of term. I want to be politically correct, I guess, when I say that. But, you know, it's like you're bringing in shops that wouldn't have been there before. You're bringing in chains that wouldn't have been there before. And you're making, you know, you're raising the rent. You're raising the mortgages. You know, these things are happening because you're making it a nicer area.
What's the alternative?
But the property value is going up. You just... Well, have to learn to rise with the times, right?
Here, man. The pros and cons.
You have it's a lack of adaptation. Like you just need to learn to adapt to the changing times.
People want things to happen downtown Hagerstown. Here, look at Frederick. I mean, the cost of living in Frederick keeps going up and up and up.
Up and up and up.
Cost right? of a house going right. up and up and up.
But you know what? People are probably getting paid up and up and up.
I'm sure.
So
you either want or you don't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
they complain about Hagerstown being stuck in first gear.
I mean, you know, when I, like, yeah, like, when I moved to Florida, when I left here.
Yeah.
Right? This is, like, small town. We all know what Hagerstown's like. When I left here and I moved to Miami.
Right.
When I was 21. And I found out that I had to pay $1,400 a month for a 600 square foot, one bedroom yeah. apartment. But then you go get a job where you're getting paid $15 an hour here. You're getting paid $26 an hour down there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all relevant. Right. You just need to learn. You just need to accept it and get into the groove. You know.
Anyway,
you don't have to feel like you're pushed out.
The last black man in San Francisco got 35 positive reviews from the critics, 4 mixed, 0 negatives. 30 positive from the people, 7 mixed, 5 negatives. I guess it did pretty well at Sundance, like we were just talking about.
What am I going to give this? Boy.
Are you going to watch it?
This is, no.
That's one question.
No, I'm not going to watch it.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd probably give it, I bet you it's a little bit better than I think it is. Let's go with a 5. I'm going to go with 5 hubcaps on this.
I'm saying 5, too, because I haven't seen it. I got to say that about the last movie. I haven't seen it. Yeah. So
I haven't seen it.
I can't really shit on it.
The idea of an entire major city in America not having that's horrible.
Well,
no, it's just dumb. That's as bad as a laser fight in a moon rover.
Yeah,
the hell
still.
Out of here. Now, where's that one at on the list right there? I just saw Ford v Ferrari pop up on there. In this top 20.
It better be. I don't even know. It better be, though.
It better be in this fucking top 20.
Anyway, we're at number, where are we at? We're at number 15. It's called The Lighthouse. Another lowly scored one here,
Is this
man.
A black and white movie?
Looks like it is, man.
It is. Look at that. That's old school, man.
You like that?
Yeah.
Anyway, summary, a hypnotic and hallucinatory tale of two lighthouse keepers on a remote and mysterious New England island in the 1890s.
Nantucket, 1890.
In Gloucester.
Yeah. Speaking of 1890,
How old are you?
I was driving through Nowhere, Virginia the other day. And we passed with this one of those Civil War signs, right? The blue and white placard thing alongside the road,
yeah.
And it said something about like the march for Gettysburg began here.
Right.
And it just dawned on me like there was no cars, there was no
nothing.
It was before the Industrial Revolution.
Wasn't even paved, dude.
Can you imagine just like 3,000 people just gathering up and we're just going to march from like
here to here,
from bumfuck Virginia to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Right.
It's like it would have taken fucking a week.
Yeah.
Straight.
It's a different world now.
Just to march up to fight.
That's right.
And then you had to be close enough to fight that the bullet would actually reach them with limited fucking gunpowder.
And literally less than 30 years later, we're already in World War One. We're marching, but we have vehicles now.
It's just a crazy thought process, what 1890 was.
So anyway, this is a
thinking about 1890.
This movie, The Lighthouse, is climbing up the
list. This movie looks nuts. I'm watching the
looks pretty good, doesn't it?
It looks crazy.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're going through all these like psychological issues because they're alone on this island together, and like there's, it looks like there was a fight scene.
Why would they be battling?
You know, they had to work together.
If there's two lighthouses, why would they be battling? Because the purpose of a lighthouse is to keep the boat from hitting the shore, right?
Right.
So why would, unless, 1890, was that the beginning of the Civil War?
No, Civil War was over.
Civil War is in the 1860s, dude.
1860s.
They're well over, dude.
So
Ben Franklin's from the 1700s. Anyway. Benjamin Franklin, excuse me.
Yes.
Yes. You and your dates, Chris. How old are you again?
I don't know. I don't count anymore.
According to your paperwork here.
This looks crazy though. Look at that. He's wading out in the middle of the ocean. It's crazy.
I mean, if you're stuck out on an island all the time, imagine in 1890s you don't have any form of
Richard Roper from the Chicago Sun-Times says this truly is must-see cinema, one of the most visually striking films you'll ever see, featuring magnificent performances from the two leads. It does look good.
It looks like a hurricane comes in. Yeah. I would be willing to bet that this is a great-ass movie.
ass movie.
Yes, it's a great movie.
I'll check it out. I would watch it.
I would be willing to bet it's a great. I'm going to give it.
I'm going to give it 7. I'm going to go above the 5.
I was going to say 7.5 sight unseen, just off the trailer. Okay. I like it.
Number 15. Okay, that was number 16. Number 15 is Mid. How do you pronounce it? Midsommar?
Midsummer.
Midsummer?
Yeah.
Well, it's a different language. Oh. They being fancy?
Yeah, why are they putting an O in
there? Midsommar. All
they
one
must,
word.
They must be British.
Anyway, right. Summary. Danny and Christian are a young American couple with a relationship on the brink of falling apart. But after a family tragedy keeps them together, a grieving Danny invites herself to join Christian and his friends on a trip to a once-in-a-lifetime midsummer festival in a remote Swedish village. And what begins as a carefree summer holiday in a land of eternal sunlight takes a sinister turn when the insular villagers invite their guests to partake in festivities that render the pastoral paradise increasingly unnerving and viscerally disturbing.
Whatever.
I read all that.
Whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, whatever. So... What it seems like to me is that these people at Metacritics.com, they really like indie films.
Well, it's the Metacritics is a conglomerate of all the critics, so it's combined, like a Rotten Tomatoes type of thing.
So this is like blowhard, douchey people saying that, we love this movie.
The critic reviews on the left side of the screen is all blowhard and douchey. You know, the people's reviews are like, it's all good. But the critics got 42 positives, 10 mixed, and 2 negatives. And on the people side, it's 227 positives, 58 mixed, and 80 negative reviews.
So I saw this film. It's really creepy.
And
it's definitely worth the watch.
Worth the watch?
Yeah, for sure.
Does it mean to busy hang back just to let us talk our asses off? And
right? Why didn't you interrupt? You should have interrupted. Hey. You should have been like, back off, motherfucker.
Well, 80 negative from the... 80,
this is a good movie.
Hang on. 80 negative from the people. And like, for instance, the people say, Cliched Pioneer says, there's nothing original in this film. Ari Aster is a hack, the director. The only thing missing is the large wicker man burning at the end.
So he did Hereditary.
Right.
Which is a weird film also.
What? What do you mean? Oh, you mean the director.
Yeah, okay. He directed that.
Someone named with 3 M's says this is the one time you really should save yourself wasting 2.5 hours of your time and take heed of the many negative reviews listed.
You know what? It's hard to believe that name wasn't taken on the internet.
There's nothing worse than an adult who uses that word.
That guy must be like 70 years old because he got that when the internet first came out.
All right, here's the one I haven't seen yet. I'm on the verge of seeing it, and Busy, you might see it tonight. Number 14.
What do you give
this?
What do you give that for Hubcaps,
Midsummer?
Busy?
Hubcaps.
I give it like a 7.5, 8.
You're saying is that good?
It's pretty good.
And that's based on your the creepy factor?
The creepy factor for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It likes to be creeped.
Right.
Yeah.
So would you consider it a horror?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. I might check it out. You know, hey, why not? When it's on Prime for free. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. Here's the one we're gonna all see this weekend at some point or something like that. 1917.
Yeah,
you know, about World War One. They finally made a movie about World War One.
So long, and I've watched so many like war documentaries, like the and they're all about World War Two. The Oliver Stone's Untold Truth of America.
That's good stuff.
That whole series
is good.
It touched on World War One, but I don't think there was enough actual footage and data.
Of course not.
Or reporting back then to actually like collect real information about the war.
Let's step back. Here's a summary of 1917. At the height of the First World War, two young British soldiers, Schofield and Blake, are given a seemingly impossible mission. In a race against time, they must cross enemy territory and deliver a message that will stop a deadly attack on hundreds of soldiers, Blake's own brother among them. So it's a bit of Saving Private Ryan. There's a brother involved.
If you fail,
there you go. I like it. Want to see it? About time they did something on World War One. You know?
Yes. And I haven't seen the movie, but I've heard
it just came out for the public.
But I've had
this past weekend.
I've heard rumor that the flow of the movie is meant to go from point A to point B within whatever time limit. Like, it's not cut away, and there's no time skipping in the movie. They go from point one to point
No jumping two, ahead, nothing
with
like
no
that.
No jumping ahead.
I gotcha. All right. Now, we haven't seen it. Busy, you're about to see it.
I want to see it tonight.
I'm already going to give it a 7 at least. My 5 is my neutral, but I know I'm going to like it just looking at the trailer.
I heard visually it's one of the most pleasing things you want to watch.
Look at that.
It just looks awesome.
So the critics who've seen this so far, because again, it just came out like 2 days ago in the theater.
The plane.
Nationally anyway. It was out around Christmas time in certain cities. Yeah. Positive reviews from the critics at 48, 7 mixed, and 0 negative. People, there's actually 5 negatives, 102 positives, and 10 mixed.
How hard do you think it is to film a movie that's a period timepiece like this? Like, where do you find the guns? If they're replicas, like, where do you find the proof that this is the way that it was? Like, there was a biplane, one of those ones with the double stack wings that just crashed into that bunker.
The juggernaut of them all is Saving Private Ryan. You ever watched the makings of that? How Steven Spielberg pulled that off over on the Irish coast with the actual army and the weapons and the uniforms. And, oh, my God, you know? Reenacting the whole invasion of the storm on the beach in Normandy, man. It's nuts, you know?
Yeah. How many extras
do
you have to have?
It's crazy, dude. It's nuts.
You have to have, like, 10,000 extras.
So what are you busy? What are you giving it? You haven't seen it yet, but...
I give it an 8.5.
I'm going... I got high expectations for this baby.
He said 11.
I'm going 9 on this one, and that's sight unseen. I've been waiting for this for a long time.
Me too. All right. I think by the next time we get together, we might have all seen it.
Yeah.
And then we can decide.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
All right. Number 13, Booksmart. I read about this one. You seen this one, Busy?
I think I have seen it. Yeah, I have seen it. It's really funny.
All right, here we go.
A comedy made it to the scene, huh?
Told from a wildly original, fresh, and modern perspective, Booksmart is an unfiltered comedy about high school friendships and the bonds we create that last a lifetime. Capturing the spirit of our times, the film is a coming-of-age story for a new generation.
Yeah, so these two girls are best friends, and they both, their entire school careers, tried so hard to be valedictorian or to be the best in their class and get the best grades. And then at one point, they both realize that they have, like, basically thrown all their time away because everyone else that went through school with them, that went out late, fucked off, drank, did whatever, they're all going to better schools or the same schools that they're going to. So, like, that kind of is the breaking point, and then they kind of just go wild after that.
I got you.
Yeah.
Raised in a bubble.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, boy, there's a lot of that going on around here.
Well, what's crazy is
there's a lot of that happening in Hagerstown.
The critics' review isn't all that. It's 49 positive, 3 mixed, and 0 negatives. But you go over to the people side, it's 219 positive reviews, 35 mixed, and 241 negative reviews.
Wow.
I know, right?
Well, that's interesting.
So, I mean, it's
the critics love it. The people hate it.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
But I bet you the people didn't grow up in a bubble.
Here's one of the critics.
They don't know what it's like.
Canadian Mike TV says this movie is just about pushing terrible political points of view, just a sad letdown. Is it a lot of that, Busy? A lot of politics in this shit?
Yeah. Like the next review was a cheap ripoff of Superbad, and yeah, maybe that.
Is it?
It's kind of along those lines. I have to answer that. It all happens in one night.
Wait a minute. I have to answer that. When they say it's a cheap ripoff of a certain movie, that certain movie created a vibe. And if it's got the Superbad vibe and you like Superbad, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Well,
it just flows the same way.
There were tons of movies before Superbad that were about high school parties that happened in one night and tons of movies afterwards.
Right.
So why would one movie be a ripoff of another?
Yeah, you know what it is? I mean,
it's a genre.
Every generation should have their movie like that. You know what I'm saying? We had Fast Times at Ridgemont High, my era growing up. You know? Then they had American Pie later on for you guys.
Dazed and Confused was good. There was the one with...
10 Things I Hate About You. Remember that movie?
Was the one with Seth Green where... what the hell was that called? Seth Green, and then everybody was trying to get laid on the same night. Or am I thinking about American Pie? I'm getting them mixed up. I don't know, but whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. All about you.
Another beer there?
Was it all about you?
Maybe, perhaps.
I think it was all about you.
Anyway, all right, we're going up the list here. Number 12 is Us. Busy, you want to chime
or
in?
Is it before you, we or is it U.S.?
No, I saw Us.
It's Us, dude. Lowercase s.
I wasn't the biggest fan of this film just because...
Because it's poorly named?
Well, that, it's... And to me, it was just poorly written. Because... what's the guy's name that wrote this film? He's one of the comedians from...
The director is Jordan Peele.
Peele. So he, you know, from his last horror film, which was...
Get Out.
Yeah. I really liked that.
That was a good movie.
I thought that was really creative. I went into this movie with those high expectations, unfortunately. I hate when I do that.
Yeah.
But it made me not like this film because I just didn't... it wasn't believable. I know it's a fantasy film. It doesn't have to be completely believable. But the premise of, like, what happens wasn't believable to me. And I just didn't vibe with it.
The summary is long, man. The summary of Us is a mother and a father take their kids.
It's like a laser fight in a moon rover.
For a idyllic summer getaway.
Yes.
Haunted by an unexplainable and unresolved trauma from her past and compounded by a string of eerie coincidences, Adelaide feels her paranoia elevated the mother to a high alert as she grows increasingly certain of that. That was Chris.
Yeah,
dropping his beer.
No, I just took it. Actually, we should. I should talk about this.
She grows increasingly certain that something bad is going to befall her family after spending a tense beach day with their friends, the Tylers. Adelaide and her family return to their vacation home. When darkness falls, the Wilsons discover the silhouette of four figures holding hands as they stand in the driveway. Us pits an endearing American family against terrifying and uncanny opponent, doppelgangers of themselves. There's the twist.
That's stupid.
On the 1 to 10 scale.
I think Jordan Peele should stick to comedy. He's a funny motherfucker. And I just don't like this whole turn he's taking.
Busy, what say you?
He's trying. I get it. He's trying to expand his.
I give
his,
it like a 3.
Really? Do we have?
They won't stop until they kill.
I really do not like this movie. It's really, really upset. Leaving the theater.
Let's move on. It's busy. Yeah. Like it. It's not
have you ever left? Have you ever left? I've never done this, but have you ever walked out of a movie?
No, I will finish it. I'll get my goddamn tickets.
I do finish the movie. I've never walked out.
Have
of
you
anything.
Busy? You've I been so I've disappointed with the movie. You walked out.
A film. I'm trying to think what it was. One time, some film was so bad, and I think I had built up like such a I was so excited to see it, and it ended up really just upsetting me, and I can't remember what it was, unfortunately. I'll get back to you.
Is it recent?
But it did. No, it was like probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Welcome to the Hub Show, where we can't remember anything we're talking about. I know, man. There's a whole lot of ums and ahs.
Ums and ahs. This one. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just thinking away here, man. Hey, we're gonna move up here.
Hey, that noise I just made.
Yes.
I took a shot of Screwball whiskey.
I thought you meant the cricket noise.
It is.
I thought that was Chris.
No, the thump earlier. I took a shot of...
It was his armpit.
Peanut butter whiskey. And I don't like peanut butter.
But this is good?
But this was fantastic.
Really?
Yes, this was like the most amazing flavor that has ever crossed
bring,
my palate.
That's what you came in with a brown bag, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a brown bag.
You brown bagged it.
Yeah, I'm working. I'm on my way to becoming homeless.
All right, we're working our way at the number 11 here. It's called The Souvenir. Busy as I even load this up. Do you have any? You know it?
Any recollection?
You're pretty good with this stuff right now, man.
I haven't seen this.
What genre is it? To start, is it? Does it say whether it's a horror?
Let me give you the spiel because it's not that long. A shy but ambitious. Here you go. You can watch the trailer as I'm reading this. A shy but ambitious film student begins to find her voice as an artist while navigating a turbulent courtship with a charismatic but untrustworthy man. She defies her protective mother and concerned friends as she slips deeper and deeper into an intense, emotionally fraught relationship that comes dangerously close to destroying her dreams.
What is her dreams, though?
It's a drama, mystery, romance. That's the genre.
We don't know what her dreams are. So it's very open-ended on the description.
Low ratings here. 42 positive from the critics, 2 mixed, no negatives. On the user's end, the
so
people, 30,
this is about
6 and 11.
This is about a woman who hooked up with a shithead and she believes that she can't leave him because she has low self-esteem. And she
ongoing theme.
And she has dreams of becoming something that she's never going to become. And she needs to get off her ass and do something.
Pass.
Pass.
Hey,
welcome to real life, people. And that's how that story goes. That's a story about
I can walk outside and watch this.
Yeah, that's a story about everyday fucking people. let's go with a three. I'm gonna give it a three.
All right, the next one I have not seen. We were about to watch it last night with the wife. Number 10, The Farewell, and it's got Awkwafina.
Now, is that a real person?
She's a rapper, but she's a good actress. I watched her in Crazy Rich Asians.
Now,
she was in Jumanji 2, the new Jumanji movie.
Is Molly a real rapper?
No.
Well, there's this 2 Chainz song that I really like. Oh, Jesus. Where he says the best party is with Molly and Awkwafina.
Maybe.
And I never knew that. I thought he was talking about the drug in the water. I didn't know he was talking about a person.
Right.
Anyway, is he talking about 2 people?
She's in the new. She's
in
the
water, right?
Yeah, probably. She's in the new Jumanji movie, which was great, by the way. The new Jumanji movie.
And, was it?
Yeah, it was
I
awesome.
Never saw the first one.
It's good stuff. You will like that movie. You like those movies, Chris.
Oh, I like Kevin Hart and The Rock.
Did you see those movies?
Kevin Hart and The Rock, when they get together.
I saw the first one.
Yeah.
I really like Kevin Hart and The Rock.
That's lightning in a bottle, man.
What's the detective movie they did where they were high school friends?
Yes.
And they did. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
They did that's really good.
Yeah.
Man.
I can't
really
remember
like
shit, can we?
I
do.
Love that movie. Yeah, when Kevin Hart and The Rock get together, man, it's great.
No, I was give you this. Jumanji 2 is better than 1.
Really?
Yeah.
Jumanji 2 is better than 1.
I watched
Danny DeVito's in there and Danny right. Glover in there. They show up and that shit's just funny as crap. Dude.
I said this in our group chat the other day. I found that Kevin Hart's I watched Kevin Hart's very first stand up. Oh man. I forgot how funny that was.
Yeah, he's funny, man.
Kevin Hart was great in his very first stand up.
I was listening to him last night on the way home on the Comedy Central satellite channel. He kills his stand-ups. Isn't that wrong
to lie? So check it out.
Central Intelligence is the movie we couldn't remember.
Yeah. Here's the oxymoron for you. When it comes to the genre, this is given drama, comma, comedy. It's drama and comedy, yeah. So here we go. Summary. Chinese-born, U.S.-raised Billy Awkwafina reluctantly returns to Changchun to find that although the whole family knows their beloved matriarch, Nai Nai, has been given mere weeks to live, everyone has decided not to tell Nai Nai herself.
Is Awkwafina Asian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's her right here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pass.
You pass on it?
Go up again once. Let me see the top of that screen. Yeah, what's it called? The Farewell.
It's called The Farewell. Now, I'll tell you what. Let's break it down. The critics gave it 47 positives, 0 mixed, 0 negatives. On the people's side, it's 133 positive, 12 mixed, and 6 negatives.
I'm sure it's great. I just don't necessarily need to put my time in it.
I guess.
No. Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah. It's a waste of time.
I'll give it a 2.
I'm going to give it a 4.
A 4 hubcaps.
I'll give it a 5.
At least it got 4 wheels there.
I'll give it a 4. I'm not going to waste my time on it, but all right, whatever.
Number 9, Pain and Glory. Busy as we load up. You know this one?
No, I don't know this film.
Pain and Glory. The genre is just drama this time. So here we go. And let's see if I get the trailer rolling here while we do this. I got to sit through some ads. Here we go.
So now we are up to what? Number
9.
9.
We're climbing up, man.
And
I'll
we
tell
have,
you what,
and we
from
haven't
what I've seen,
seen
so far, your movie, I know you can talk, and I love it too, is not on this list. Hang on, we'll get to it though. My
we'll
favorite,
talk about it
My
regardless.
Favorite movie is at the top, but the one you're talking about is not on the list. Pain and Glory tells a series of encounters experienced by Salvador Malo, a film director in his physical decline, some of them in the flesh, others remembered. His childhood in the 60s when he immigrated with his parents to a village in Valencia.
He was just like,
insert.
He was meditating underwater.
Pain and Glory talks about creation and the difficulty of separating it from one's own life and about the passion to give it meaning and hope. In recovering his past, Salvador finds the urgent need to recount it, and in that need, he also finds his salvation.
I don't know. I don't. I wasn't really listening. I wasn't really.
I lost you at Salvador.
I wasn't really listening to what you said, but watching the trailer and the way that it's filmed, like him, like he just blew like
yeah, low ratings on this one too.
He blew some ash off a table. That guy looks like the dude from the Big Lebowski. There's people washing clothes in a river.
Right.
I'm very intrigued.
Business owner.
Antonio Banderas and Penelope Cruz. And she's hot.
I was watching this preview and I was just like, yeah, no.
No?
Are you giving it 5, 4,
oh, man,
three?
I am very intrigued. I want to know what this movie is about.
39 positive, 3 mixed, 0 negatives from the critics, 44, 11, and 2 on
the people's
side.
Isn't this labeled as a drama?
It is completely drama.
Yeah, I'm out.
You're out?
Yeah, I'm out.
You can't be out on this.
Are there any dramas you like? Besides war, besides 1917 and stuff like that.
Come on, man! I'm giving that a war movie.
That's not really
I'm giving that a 7, sight unseen.
Yeah,
sight unseen.
I want to see that.
I'm gonna force you to watch
it. I really
like
want to see that.
The eyelids peeled open. Man.
I'm pissed. I haven't seen this film yet.
Which one?
Knives Out. Yes, I've heard good things about
Have
this.
You?
Yes.
I might. My mom just texted me and told me she can't make the movies tonight, so I might push 1917 to later in the week and go see this tonight now.
All right, Knives Out. I saw the big poster for it in the lobby of the theater. And, Jamie Lee Curtis and all them. 007s in this thing. Yeah. Frank Oz is in this, for God's sake. Christopher
right?
Plummer.
And, what's his name, is coming back for another 007.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I thought they were trying to change out James Bond.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Black female.
Yeah, they were looking.
They're making the switch over.
Yeah, they were looking for a new one, and then I saw the trailer for
Daniel Craig.
God forbid we say it. Is it necessary? Why can't she just be her own character? I suspect.
What? Yes, James
Bond.
Don't
make the whole James Bond.
James Bond has always been a white male.
British white male.
A British white male.
He's just been that guy.
He's always been a British white male.
Right. No one. I mean, you know.
So now we have to adapt. Yeah, to the new culture.
Do you remember a movie that...
The kids want to see diversity.
Do you remember a movie that...
But nobody's come out with a movie called Diversity.
00 Diversity. What's that movie she did? Tomb Raider. What's her face in there?
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, the movie she did called Salt. You ever see that? Well, she's a female version of Rambo in that thing. Man.
I know, right? That's crazy.
I thought the movie was awesome. There you go.
That's crazy.
Now, if this new chick can do James Bond shit and fire stuff off of her cufflinks and shit like that, I'm down.
Yeah.
And if she gets the dude at the end of the movie, you know?
Yeah, right.
Rock on.
Yeah, right. What is going to happen there?
I mean, come on.
There's no more Bond girls. So,
yeah.
Unless she's
a
lesbian.
Where we're going with this shit.
Do you think she's going to be a lesbian?
Hey, who knows, man? Probably.
Is she going to get a Bond girl? That's weird.
I wonder who the new Bond chick is.
It's a word, but it's more than a word.
No, what are you going to do? So Knives Out, when renowned crime novelist Harlan Thrombey, Christopher Plummer, is found dead at his estate just after his 85th birthday, the inquisitive and debonair detective Benoit Blanc, Daniel Craig, is mysteriously enlisted to investigate from Harlan's dysfunctional family to his beloved staff, Blanc sifts through a web of red herrings and self-serving lies to uncover the truth behind Harlan's untimely death. It was like Clue, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much like that.
I like it. I like it.
The critics gave it 47, 5, and 0 on the negative. On the people side, it's 363, 32, and then 74 negatives.
Whatever.
You haven't seen it? What are you giving it, Chris? Hubcap.
Oh, boy. I like the idea of an updated Clue.
Sure.
Clue was a great movie. Right. And Daniel Craig is a great fucking actor.
All right.
I'm going to go an 8, and I haven't seen it.
Busy?
I've heard it's witty, charming, and fun. Okay. And I'm excited to see it. I want to go see it. I'm going to give it a 9.
All right. Here we go. Little Women is number... Where are we at? We at 8? No, we're at 7. Little Women.
Pass.
You're passing already. It's a drama romance.
Just based on the
classic
the
novel
name alone,
and
writings
of Louisa May Alcott, and unfolds as the author's alter ego.
Bob Odenkirk's in this?
Reflects back and forth on her fictional life. And
Emma Watson's in this. Well, I mean,
it's
this
in store
is
or online at Mattress.
That's a commercial.
Now how do you think that they got Bob Odenkirk and Emma Watson to sign up for a movie called Little Women?
This was a pretty well. It said it's from based on a novel, right? The novel's
chick
very
runs in the
very
woods,
popular.
Dress flown in the wind. Yeah. The critics give it 52, 4, and 0, and the people are 95, 17, and 22. There you have it. You going to see that tonight there, Busy?
No, I'm passing on that. I'm
watched Little Women.
She's painting.
Seven.
She's painting landscapes right, like six, Norman Rockwell.
Number six.
I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna go with a three. I'll give it a three.
All right, Busy. Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Have not. I don't
Another
even know what this
drama,
is.
Another drama, history, romance.
France, now, the, now they were
France of 1770. Marianne, a painter.
A fucking hard pass.
Hard pass. The young woman who is just.
There's
left
nothing
the
worse than a love.
I'm just gonna nitpick
a time
the details
piece
here.
Love story. based in France. I mean, you couldn't
Eloise
put three things together that would make
a reluctant
me
bride
hey
to be
walk faster away from a movie.
Hey now, hey
Marianne
now
must paint her without her knowing. She observes her day to day to paint her secret.
Hey, now don't talk shit on France timepiece love stories unless you've seen Emmanuel in France.
Oh, no.
Now, Emmanuel in France,
I believe, Belgium.
Yes, I believe she. I believe in France, she broke down alongside the road, driving a Renault. And somebody,
Chris knows his Emmanuel
yes,
movies.
Yes, and then she had to give a guy a blowjob. In order for her to get into his house.
Oh, tacky.
And then they fell in love immediately. Oh. And then they made,
I always
they
fall
made
in love
hot,
whenever I get roadhead.
They made, yes, they made hot, sexual,
road job.
Deviant love
All
in
right.
a log cabin in France.
Now, this is why I wish Charming was here, because she saw this and I want to see this. This is Uncut Gems at number 5.
I've heard a lot of good things about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Adam Sandler in one of his serious roles again. Oh, he always does good yeah. with these things, man.
A lot
you
of
think
my
he
friends
does good
said,
with these? With the with the you think Adam Sandler does good when he does his
the
art
Drunk
pieces?
Punch Love was a good movie from way.
I do I did kind of like Drunk Punch Love, and I but I think everybody else hated it. But I felt like I liked it.
Fuck everyone.
I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But here we are, Uncut Gems. Good Lord, that's a long explanation of this. No, that's not. Howard Ratner, Adam Sandler, is a charismatic New York City jeweler. He's always on the lookout for the next big score. When he makes a series of high stakes bets that could lead to a windfall of a lifetime, Howard must perform a precarious high-wire act, balancing business, family, and encroaching adversaries on all sides in his relentless pursuit of the ultimate win. Now, Charming saw this, and I wish she was here to talk it up and give her opinion, but she ain't, so
well,
I'm already giving it a 7 at least.
Are you?
I've had friends say they really like this film, but I had one friend who I really trust his opinion on movies, and he said that
no?
he said he really liked the film. But for as much as he liked the film, it's the film that he's liked the most that he would never want to watch again.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So it's
is it depressing or something?
Well, I don't know if I would want to watch Drunk Punch Love again.
Right,
but I mean, it was a good movie.
I never went to go watch it again, but I thought it was good.
Yeah, it never pops up on my thing. Like, hey, I'm trying to go to bed. What do I want to watch? Drunk Punch Love.
Anyway.
that never pops up, but it was. I thought it was a good movie.
Critics are at a 53, 2, and a 0, and the people give it 110, 21 mixed, and negative at 41.
And I think the same year that Drunk Punch Love came out was the same one that Bill Murray did his, right? Bill Murray did the one with him and Scarlett Johansson where they were in Japan.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
Lost in Translation.
That's a good movie. Great.
That was a great movie.
That's a great movie. All right. Yeah. Biz, Marriage Story. You.
I have no idea what this is.
We're at number 4. We're climbing up here, dude. Number 4, Marriage Story. Drama, comedy, romance. It's all three of these.
Pass.
And look at the summary, though. It's only one sentence. That tells you a lot. An incisive and compassionate portrait of a marriage breaking up and a family staying together. That's all you fucking need to know, right?
Yeah, well, you know. Welcome to real life.
Right. If you can't, if that's welcome. Not the most common storyline of all time.
Yeah, welcome to.
Oh, he's got Kylo Ren.
Being a dad.
Oh, hey.
There you go.
He has to do something other than be the leader of the Dark Force.
On the critic side, there's only 53 reviews at all. They're all positive. On the people side, it's 242 positive, 17 mixed, and 33 negative.
He's very clear about what he wants.
Some people call it an excellent movie with the best performance of the year.
This is his Garden State.
I don't like.
Hard for a man.
I don't like his look.
All of my moods.
Kylo Ren's look.
Yeah,
it belongs in Star Wars, and that's it.
Yeah, he's like,
you're either a Sith.
Yeah,
well, you're nothing.
Yeah, right. He's like a.
Yeah,
he has like this whole emo depressed guy.
And another one here. I know Charming is a big ScarJo fan.
That's why I said it's like his Garden State because he reminds me of a Zach Braff.
Let me tell you something about Charming is a thing with Scarlett Johansson. Remember at the Harrisburg Comic Con, she bought a poster of Scarlett Johansson.
It was 20 feet tall.
We can cover this entire ceiling with that poster. Probably still has some left over. know what she did. She said there, she never put it up. She's just sitting there rolled up somewhere, you know. All right, Biz, hubcaps.
I don't know.
It's a Netflix movie too.
That's what it just said.
Well,
so the next one, number three, The Irishman.
Oh boy,
how'd you do?
Bada bing.
Before we get in there,
have you watched it?
I started watching it.
I watched it.
Yeah, you did mention a couple of shows ago.
Yes, I've been meaning to watch it.
I'm a Scorsese fan.
But I've heard it so long that I need to break it down into two sections.
It is very long.
Very long movie.
I watched it on Thanksgiving Day.
I need to watch an hour and a half one night and an hour and a half the next night.
Or when did it come out? Christmas. Was it Christmas?
Yeah, or Thanksgiving Day. Yeah, it was Thanksgiving.
It was one of the holidays I watched it.
Yeah. So what did you think?
I really like this type of movie, this whole gangster thing.
The Irish Mafia, yeah.
How does it rate up against other gangster movies?
It's very comparable, and it's a great story. And my mom, she was in the Teamsters when I was growing up, so it's a lot about Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's kind of his storyline a little bit too.
I got you.
So it was interesting to kind of see all that and kind of see how like much of a bigwig he was.
Does your mom know
where
he's buried?
I doubt it.
I don't think she would tell me if she did. The Irishman Chronicles one of the greatest unsolved mysteries in American history. The disappearance of legendary Union boss Jimmy Hoffa and offers a monumental journey through the hidden corridors of organized crime, its inner workings, rivalries, and connections to mainstream politics.
You know, it's
not... Is it
not
Goodfellas good?
Goodfellas is one of my favorite films of all... I found something interesting out about Goodfellas yesterday.
Go on.
That... Joe Pesci's character, you know, Billy Banks, the guy he kills in the bar, tells him to shine his shoes.
Yeah.
So he, in real life, Billy was best friends with who is the gangster that died in the 80s. He was like one of the last old school gangsters. I mean, he went got sent to jail and he got killed in jail.
Capone died long in the 30s, dude.
John Gotti. John Gotti was Billy's best friend. And when Billy got out of jail, in real life, Joe Pesci's character kills him. And in real life, John Gotti actually kills whoever is Joe Pesci's character in real life in the street, shot him 3 times. Crazy. Wow. But they didn't put that in the movie because at the time, John Gotti was still doing gang-related stuff.
I forget what magazine had it. I almost want to say it's something along the lines of Maxim magazine or something. Had interviews with people who were the kids... The family of the actual players in the movie Casino, behind the real story.
Oh, cool.
Out in Vegas, and some of their dads got whacked. And all that shit.
Do you think
Crazy fucking shit, do you think
the mafia is still like alive right now?
Yes,
I do.
Like alive and kicking, but we're just not hearing any of these celebrity mafia types, like the ones who stand out.
They're definitely on the DL. I'm sure it's all there. I'm sure Vegas is run by all that still.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, when I was in Vegas, but. Mm-hmm. A while back, I don't know, but I felt like I was in an elevator. I went to one of those like a la carte, like high end restaurants when I was out there. Right, it was, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, and when I was out there, and I got in an elevator with this guy, and I just got the vibe off of him, mm-hmm. and you know, he's had some woman on his arm.
Hey,
wearing
I like
a suit.
To give off that vibe.
And I was like,
you know
and I was like, this dude is
that's a cool vibe to give
was,
off, dude.
Yeah, and he said some shit like about like, you know, he pulled out some terminology like somebody getting whacked or some shit, and I was like, and
you're
I was
talking about
and,
her, dude.
And we're just in this elevator, and I'm like, this fucking guy right here, god damn, like it feels like it's still alive. It feels like this guy is one of those guys.
That he's playing a prank on you, making you feel scared.
I don't know if he's just talking to this guy around.
Yeah,
right. I don't know if he was just acting it up or not, or if whether it really still is going around.
All right, we're in the top two and Busy. Let's go with what they chose as number one, because you mentioned it when you walked in here. The movie's Parasite.
So at number one, they have Parasite.
Parasite. You
but
it?
Number two, I we didn't talk I, about.
I, we're going to talk about it.
Oh, you skipping it?
No, I'm not skipping that. But we're going to talk about it. I want to hear about Parasite. I don't like it that it's above my favorite movie for the year. But yeah. I haven't seen Parasite, so what do I know?
I don't watch movies that are in caption.
I've heard this movie is amazing. I've been told to watch it by like movie buffs. I've been told it's like
Parasite.
Really, really good.
Oh, that's a commercial for a Star Trek.
I was going to say.
Meet like, the this Park has family, to- the picture of the of aspirational wealth, and the Kim family, a rich in street smarts but not much else. Be it chance or fate, these two houses are brought together. In the Kim's sense of golden opportunity, masterminded by college-age Ki-woo, the Kim fam, the Kim children expediently installed themselves as tutor and art therapist to the Parks. Soon, a symbolic relationship forms between the two families. The Kims provide indispensable luxury services while the Parks obliviously bankroll their entire household. When a parasitic, here comes the word, interloper threatens the Kims' newfound comfort, a savage, underhanded battle for dominance breaks out, threatening to destroy the fragile ecosystem between the Kims and the Parks. That's a lot.
Wow.
Hope you enjoyed the trailer.
Yeah.
You seen it or you know? You heard about it.
I've only heard about it.
It said a masterpiece three times in the trailer so far.
I mean, I have heard it's from people that are, you know, in the film industry that it's awesome.
Well, well.
Critics gave it 48 positive, 0 and 0, so nothing else. Users gave it 481 positive, 19 mixed, and 19 negative reviews.
I mean, I'm kind of liking the trailer, but...
Parasite.
But I find when I'm watching movies that are in caption that I have to, if I don't know the language, I have to.
It's like watching a silent movie for you, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to stare at the caption the whole time, and you can't watch the movie. You know what I mean? That's the problem.
A caption right now called it Hitchcocking.
Yeah, it's like you're looking at the bottom of the screen reading the whole time, and you're not able to actually like look up and focus on what's happening on the screen.
All right,
but I mean, it did look like a pretty amazing movie, and
I think I'm going to check it out.
Even the review sounded good.
Film. So. This list is based on films mentioned on most critic top 10 lists, and Parasite was number one, beating out number two, which I can't freaking believe. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Busy and I have both seen. You seen it yet, Chris?
I have not, but I want to. I'm going to buy it. I'm not even.
Yeah,
you have
to own that one.
Yeah,
Tarantino's number nine. And if you don't know what it's about, you should go read it yourself. It's all good, though. Biz, what's say
no,
you?
Read what it's about.
All right. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood visits 1969 Los Angeles, where everything is changing as TV star Rick Dalton, Leonardo DiCaprio, and his longtime stunt double Cliff Booth, played by Brad Pitt, make their way around an industry they hardly recognize anymore. The ninth film from the writer-director, Quentin Tarantino, features a large ensemble cast and multiple storylines in a tribute to the final moments of Hollywood's golden age.
I believe it. This is about the whole killing spree, wasn't it?
Yeah, it ends with that. That's sprinkled around the movie, the Manson family.
It's really done very well.
A big twist. It's Tarantino's own fantasy twist on the whole thing. I'm not going to give it away, but the ending is so worth the
wait. That's what we do. We spoil really awesome movies here on the Hub Show.
So
tell me.
You know, from being around Hollywood for 15 years, I've seen that, like, what it's about happen.
Sure.
And I felt it happen.
In 15 years, you saw it change.
I've seen it, change in 5 years. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Every 5 years, I felt like that was happening to people in their careers. So it's an interesting take, and they did a really good job as it's a timepiece with like the cars and like making LA look like it was then.
The work they went into doing that, to making Brad Pitt driving down the freeway.
There's a scene where Brad Pitt's character fights Bruce Lee.
Yep.
And it's one of the goddamn most awesome things that I've ever watched.
Of course,
really?
Bruce Lee's family didn't like it, but it was what
they
it
didn't
is.
Like it because Bruce kind of gets his ass beat a little bit, but it's awesome. And Bruce is portrayed well, I thought it's
well. Bruce also got his ass kicked a little bit by Chuck Norris.
This is
just
true.
A little
Chris,
bit.
When you buy this, you got to go in and watch the extra special features. You see how Tarantino pulled this off. Like I said, there's no way Brad Pitt's driving on an L.A. freeway and all the other cars are from 1969. It's got to be CGI. It's some magic shit, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
They closed off a freeway for him. How much did that cost to do in Los
That's
Angeles,
crazy.
Man? They show the makings of that in the special features, and that's just
right. And you and me listened to the same podcast, and he was talking about how the advertisements on the side of the cars were real
all
companies.
Legit. Yes,
they were real companies that
the
existed
soundtrack,
during that.
The soundtrack
that time.
Is the actual audio from the radio in 1969. It's incredible.
That's
everything
awesome.
You're hearing in the movie is on the soundtrack. Was pulled from the audio from KDAY or whatever out there in LA in 1969.
That's crazy.
It's nuts, man.
That's 100% legit.
It's all
that's
good.
That's what Tarantino's idea now, was, to go 100% legit.
So, Biz, what do you think? That's crazy. Bro? This is his ninth movie. He's only supposedly do 10. That's what Tarantino said. He's only going to do 10.
He's full of rumors.
Yeah, I know, but I know he's what's full next, of rumors. Man?
Well, you say you're only, when you're on 9, you're only going to do 10 because
well, he said
that's
that a couple
a hell
years
of a marketing
ago.
Move to he, get well, people out to your last
said
movie.
That, he said that quite a few years ago.
How many
ago.
Times did Michael Jordan retire?
That's true, but still.
Yeah. We'll see.
Tarantino, man. He pulled it off in this one, though.
I mean,
awesome.
His last two films I'm huge fans of. Yeah. So
I love the fact that Tarantino, I love the fact that what he does is he builds like a little family, too. Like, you expect to see the same actors and actresses in the movies. He has, like, a little group that he likes to go to. And you know what I mean?
So they just had the Golden Globe Awards. Cheers to Ricky Gervais, by the way.
Oh, my God.
That was an incredible
I did not,
intro to that
I did
show,
not watch
man.
The Golden Globes, but
I watched
YouTubed,
that.
But I YouTubed the highlights.
That was awesome.
Woo, boy, did he light them up.
He put the smack
he
down.
He lit them up,
it
boy.
It was awesome, man.
The camera kept cutting away to Tom Hanks, and Tom Hanks' mouth was like on his fucking, like his jaw was just dropped down to his fucking tits. He's like,
Golden Globe Awards. there you go.
He was so fucking shocked, like everybody. Like every time Ricky Gervais would like bust on somebody, they would cut the camera to them and they'd be like,
"Now
they just had a scowling
face."
This
is my
face.
Opinion because he won the award, the Golden Globe. Brad Pitt won supporting actor for Once Upon a Time. Now I think for the Golden Globe and for the Academy Award, he's up against the one movie that's not on this entire fucking list that we all saw, we loved, is Ford versus Ferrari.
Yes.
Which is pretty
why
crazy.
Why is that not
Christian,
on his list?
Christian Bale, to me.
I bet it's on the list, but it didn't make the top 22 somehow.
That's
which
bullshit.
Is bizarre.
That's bullshit.
This is a top 30 list. This amazing, is actually a top 30 list. We started at 22. Movie. It's not in here, dude.
It's an amazing fucking movie.
It's a great movie. And I think that Christian Bale is up for the supporting actor. That was a hell of a job. He always does a great job.
And
man.
And you know what? Does. Yeah, like a little detail of the movie. Mm-hmm. Was that they say that Ken Miles is a real person, and right. I've seen footage of mm-hmm. Ken Miles. He always used to talk out the side of his mouth, and Christian Bale actually talked out the side of his mouth the whole
yeah,
movie.
He
acts like half of his face is paralyzed.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Because Christian Bale is awesome. You see him in The Fighter.
Like he,
oh my god, he went crackhead on guy.
He became
incredible.
Ken Miles. It was
awesome.
Insane.
Yeah,
I was pushing The Fighter on somebody the other day. Like, you need to watch this movie. If you haven't seen this movie, like, you need to watch it.
I love that part in Ford v. Ferrari, like, the very beginning when you first get to see Ken Miles. And they're bitching at him because his trunk space isn't big enough to hold the box, right?
Right.
And then he comes out with a sledgehammer and just starts beating the trunk of the car up. He's like, there, it fucking fits now.
Yeah. Well, Golden Globes.
It's like that. Oh, this is.
And then it wins shit, dude. Ford versus Ferrari. I'm really surprised, too. That was a really good movie. Man.
Unbelievable.
There you have it, folks. According to Metacritic, which is a combination of all these critic scores and whatnot, Parasite is number one as far as how many times a movie was mentioned by critics. That's how they base this on. Ah. Once again.
Right.
Right. Anyway.
And me and Busy went to go see Ford v. Ferrari together.
He did. And my son.
High five.
High five.
You're good friends.
That was a great.
That was
a great fucking
best
movie.
Mandate ever.
Yes. Right? And
there you
I suggested the other night to my girlfriend that we do a mandate on 1917, and she shot it down and said she wanted to go see it too. So.
Oh, well, we could do a double date, and I could take my mom.
There you go.
Hell of a day, dude.
There you go. Hey.
What,
maybe you can take my girlfriend home, and I'll take your mom home.
Busy, what do you know?
That's what?
2020 coming up. What's going on? What's coming up in the movies, man? 2020.
I don't know what's coming up.
I mean,
I don't know what's happening.
Rise of Skywalker didn't make that list either, by the way.
Was that
Star
in
Wars? Was not on our list here, man.
Did that?
But the Avengers
it did
was.
Come out in December.
Yes, it did.
There's a weird timeline with the Oscars, right?
Yeah, like put it out before January in December.
Yeah, but like if there's a gap there, right? Uh-huh. Like if a movie comes out within a certain gap, it's not nominated for an Oscar, right?
Okay, we got.
I don't know what that gap
what we
is.
Got?
What is
we
that
got
guy?
Black Widow coming out.
Okay.
Marvel film.
Interesting.
I'm interested in this. The Top Gun
unless
Maverick.
You want to see that?
I want to see Top Gun Maverick. Yeah. I like Tom Cruise.
ScarJo's going to show a tit. Yeah. I'll go see Black Widow.
The new 007, No Time to Die.
I got to see that.
So
you can rip it apart.
I've seen every 007.
I can't wait to hear your critique of that movie.
I love 007.
That's in April. I'm looking forward to that one.
I love Bond movies, man. Yeah. I love Bond
Birds
movies.
Of Prey, which is like a DC you know, comic movie.
There you go.
Bullshit. DC is fucking horrible movies, man. Yeah.
New Mutants. Mm-hmm. The live action Mulan looks good.
Wait a minute. What is New Mutants? Is that an X-Men movie?
I don't know.
Those live Disney movies, The Lion King put me to sleep, dude. I thought I was watching National Geographic, man. I was just like, whatever.
National Geographic.
I'll take the cartoon over this.
Well, see, this is the problem.
I don't think it has anything to do with
this
X-Men.
This is where we differ, Jay.
You liked it?
National Geographic puts you to sleep?
Wow, if I was watching a documentary, I'd sit down getting ready to watch a Disney movie,
I stay awake and absorb National Geographic documentaries.
I forgot about you.
Like they're crazy.
Okay.
Did you see The Lion King live action?
No.
Disney movie? All right, then.
I didn't like the anime.
The new Mutants is an X-Men movie.
I thought so.
Yeah.
It was Ninja Turtles
or
something.
Like that.
Yeah. What else we got here?
You guys like five mandates out of this right there, man.
Wonder Woman 1984 looks good.
I've seen the trailer for that. That does look
good. I'm excited about that. Yeah. Bad Boys for Life. I love the Bad Boys.
Yes, I've already bought my ticket.
I'm definitely down for that. 17th. We should mandate to that.
January 17th.
Why don't we mandate the Bad Boys?
Booyah.
All right, let's do that. 2020 looks like a big heaping pile of mandates here for Busy and Chris.
Martin Lawrence is my favorite man in the goddamn world.
I think we're going to fade out on this one. Ladies and gentlemen, The Hub Show, 2019 films. Chime in. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, at The Hub Show. Producer at The Hub Show on the email, Jay Heiss, Chris Canfield, and DJ Busy. We're out of here.
Martin!
You've been listening to The Hub Show podcast with Chris Canfield, Jay Heiss, and DJ Busy. Make sure to like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at The Hub Show. Till next time.